If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Answering Mormons Questions, published by Kriegel. Written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, Answering Mormons Questions includes a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. Answering Mormons Questions can be ordered online at MRM.org or at your favorite Christian bookstore. Be ready to give an answer.
Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Why has the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, gone out of print? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at an article by Peggy Fletcher Stack, a journalist with the Salt Lake Tribune. An article she wrote titled, LDS Classic, Miracle of Forgiveness, Fading Away, and Some Mormons Say It's Time. It's funny, Eric, about these quote-unquote controversial books. Another controversial book, of course, that went out of print in 2010 was Mormon Doctrine, which was written by Bruce McConkie, a Mormon apostle. I've often said that one of the reasons I liked Mormon Doctrine was because it was just so blunt, and McConkie said it like it was. I saw the same pattern with Spencer Kimball. He's one of the old-time leaders that believed a traditional type of Mormonism, and he wasn't afraid to explain what traditional Mormonism is supposed to be. Unlike what we're getting today, where you've got a lot of comments coming from all over the place from BYU scholars who are trying to reinvent Mormonism and make it out to be something that it never has been and probably never will be. But in this article by Peggy Fletcher Stack, she tries to give the impression somehow that this book dealt mainly with sexual issues. But yet she doesn't give any evidence from the church that that's one of the reasons why the book is going out of print. She just uses her whole article to try and give this impression that somehow the sexual issues that Kimball expressed were not the views of the current leadership today. Now, maybe in some of the ways that Kimball said some things, I'm sure that maybe some of the current leaders might be uncomfortable with. But overall, the prohibitions against some sexual behavior certainly would be a part of the Mormon church today. That has not changed.
And you would expect that to be in his book somehow, but on page 25, he produces a list of more than 80 items that are all sins, transgressions, modern transgressions is how he put it, and he waits until the very end of the list before he mentions the sexual sins, and here's what he says. And in our modern language, masturbation, petting, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and every sex perversion, every hidden and secret sin, and all unholy and impure practices. Now, if you count up all those in that list compared to the others, fewer than 10% of his list deal with sexual issues. I would think it should be more, because I think sex is probably more than 10% of all the transgressions that are committed by people, whether it's thoughts, whether it's actions. We know that sex plays a big role in our falling and the sins that we commit. So you would expect those things to be there. And as we go through the book, and we'll talk about this a little later, I don't think that he overstresses the sexual parts at all. Yes, he is hard-hitting, as you mentioned, but that's the way that he was, and he wanted people to know how serious sin was.
As I mentioned before, I think a lot of the points that she makes in this piece are really agenda-driven. And when she throws in a lot of the comments about some of the statements that he makes regarding homosexuality, if she is going to try and give the impression that maybe somehow culture has caused the Mormon church to let this fade out,
yep.
I would think that most Mormons would be really offended by that assumption, especially when you look at the 14 fundamentals in Following the Prophet speech that Ezra Taft Benson gave in 1980 and was introduced to basically a whole new church almost in just recent years in General Conference.
Because this church is supposed to be driven by God giving his instruction to the leaders, and it should not be driven by the culture. And that's what it seems like, if this is really true, that because homosexual marriage has been legalized and all of the ways that we have changed over the past few years, it's allowing the culture to have more of a role than God. And that's not what you're going to read right now, I
think. Well, that's the point I'm trying to make here, because if you look at the new edition of the Teachings of the Living Prophet Student Manual, Religion 333, on page 26, it's been going through the 14 Fundamentals speech by Benson. Point number 12 says, the prophet will not necessarily be popular with the world or the worldly. And it goes on to say, as a prophet reveals the truth, it divides the people. The honest in heart heed his words, but the unrighteous either ignore the prophet or fight him. When the prophet points out the sins of the worldly either want to close the mouth of the prophet or else act as if the prophet didn't exist rather than repent of their sins. Popularity is never a test of truth. Many a prophet has been killed or cast out. As we come closer to the Lord's second coming, you can expect that as the people of the world become more wicked, the prophet will be less popular with them. Mm-hmm. So I would think that a Latter-day Saint, hearing someone say that because this book had some things critical of the homosexual behavior, that that's why the church took it out of print, I would think that they would be very offended by that assumption. Yep. Because it seems to me that that kind of an implication shows that the church has no longer have any spine and that they are, in fact, caving in to the culture rather than what they feel is correct. So I would think that they would have a problem with that.
Now, Kimball did say that adultery is next to murder in seriousness. He says that on page 62. And he spends an entire chapter, which is chapter 6, called The Crime Against Nature. He deals with homosexuality. So he does deal with sexual sins, but he had a chance to do much more. For instance, he did talk about lust on pages 20 and 21. And yet, while he could have gone and said that lust is completely about sex, he doesn't. He says it might be observed that the term lust is not necessarily limited in its connotation to sexual desire. It can imply any fleshly or worldly appetite or urge carried to excess. Satan will eagerly use other urges which suit his purpose, as well as sexual ones, in an effort to enslave men. When it came to sin, I believe that Spencer Kimball was an equal opportunity critiquer, because he did not hold back on anything. And I went through, in fact, an article on our main website, mrm.org. If you go to that website, at the top, you'll see an article dealing with the miracle of forgiveness. I go through and I give a list of over a dozen things that he spends a lot of time, besides the homosexuality and the other sexual sins, such as those who don't get married for eternity in the temple, or idolatry, which he calls among the most serious sins. Rebellion, pages 42 through 45, talks about that. Traitors, 45 through 46, no sex is talked about in any of these. Sabbath breaking, 45 through 47, three whole pages on breaking the Sabbath. Lovers of money, stealing, false witness, he spends three pages on false witness. Breaking the word of wisdom, spends a couple of pages on that. Drug habits, covenant breakers. The list goes on and on. He spends pages after pages after pages on all these other issues too. So anybody who makes it sound like that his whole bent was on homosexuality or sexual sins, it was certainly a part of this book, but it was not, I don't believe, the main thrust of what he was trying to accomplish in The Miracle of Forgiveness. And I'm not trying to defend The Miracle of Forgiveness, but to say that somehow Kimball was obsessed with sex, that I would say is not an accurate portrayal of what he
was
doing.
But yet you've heard already a Mormon tell you that very thing.
The night that this article came out, the night before actually, I was downtown witnessing and I had somebody come up and repeat exactly what Peggy Fletcher Stack is saying here. And I'm thinking maybe he got some of the stuff from her because the article had already been out for a few hours. And he said, I think that The Miracle of Forgiveness is not a good book because the whole book, he said, is about sex. And I asked what he was talking about. He says, well, there's a chapter on homosexuality. And throughout it, you can't go two or three pages without seeing something about sex. I said, I've read the book twice, and I would disagree with you completely. Show me every two to three. I could show you whole sections, whole chapters where sex or anything related to it is never even mentioned.
Yeah, and when you consider also that this book was one of the few books written by a leader of the LDS Church, a general authority, mentioned in general conference, and for members to read if they want to fully understand what is required of them as a member if they hope to achieve that forgiveness, that miracle of forgiveness. How do you just discount that and say, well, now that shows that we're moving away from this? I mean, come on, folks, be serious.
Let me give you an example. Harold B. Lee was the president at the time, and we have to remember, Kimball did write this as an apostle. I like your response. What was Paul when he was writing Ephesians? He was an apostle as well. But Elder Kimball, according to the story, he passed the manuscript over to Harold B. Lee. Edward Kimball, his son, wrote about how Harold B. Lee, the president of the church at the time when this book came out in 1969, threw praise at the book. And according to Edward Kimball, Lee said that on the basis of the half he had read, quote, it was factual and heavily documented and adequate and covered the field beautifully. He had read half the book, and he said, this is exactly right. And I don't care which half you read. He doesn't change his tune throughout the book. It's very strong and hard-hitting all the way through. And he got the endorsement from the current prophet at that time.
And consider also, as I mentioned earlier, about getting an endorsement in general conference. You have 70 Richard L. Evans, and this is found in conference reports, April 1970 on page 16. He's speaking to the membership in general conference, and this is what Richard L. Evans said. Many of you would be familiar with President Spencer Kimball's wonderful work on the miracle of forgiveness. I witness to you that God is a loving Father and will forgive and help us find peace and self-respect as we repent and show our sincerity by the lives we live. And there is nothing he asks us that we cannot do. There is no requirement we cannot keep if we are willing, if we want to. Repentance is a miracle if it is sincere. Notice what he calls it, this wonderful work on the miracle of forgiveness. So you would think Richard L. Evans, who was a 70 at the time, could have recognized between true doctrine and false doctrine.
And that was in conference reports from April 1970, page 16. And then 25 years later, in April of 1995, this is what Richard G. Scott said in a general conference talk. In The Miracle of Forgiveness, Spencer W. Kimball gives a superb guide to forgiveness. Through repentance, it has helped many find their way back.
And tomorrow, we're going to be looking at some more speculation, if you will, as to why The Miracle of Forgiveness has gone out of print.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in downtown Salt Lake City to browse the largest inventory of Christian books on the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from the Smith Ballpark. Whether you're looking for a basic introduction or a more scholarly work, Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding the appropriate resources so you can better understand the LDS religion. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore also carries dozens of books that Sandra and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes their comprehensive work, Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. So, once again, if you have questions about the LDS faith, there is always somebody behind the desk who would be more than happy to assist you. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Saturdays from 1 to 5. Remember, when in Salt Lake City, be sure to come check out the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there at 1358 South and West Temple.